Hey,
is my bed now? My computer wasn't plugged in.
Okay, all sorts of technical fun tonight, huh?
That happens. But yeah, I was saying that. Oh, okay. So yeah, as I was looking, like I was trying to figure out where the cutouts should be, and then I realized, okay, it's just everyone is doing cutouts, and then just starting to think a little bit more. What is the desired weight? And is a lighter frame necessarily better in all situations and for all users? And the answer is, like, I don't really know. So we, with the wizard frame, we basically said, let's make it as simple as possible and we'll just implement things that make sense. So the idea of the rocker, we have a pretty logical explanation to it, kind of as we went through it.
Right.
And with the weight, I just didn't have a reason to go one way or another. So I was like, well, let's just keep it simple. Let's not take anything out. Let's make them in the most basic form and then see what we can improve on. So, and with time, I kind of realized that everyone is, the way the industry is, or the way marketing works, is it's always like, oh, now it's lighter, now it's faster, now it's this. And it seems to be everyone is racing to zero, if that makes sense. Like, so is, like, a frame that weighs zero would be the best frame? And I don't think so. I think the frame would need to have some weight. So there's definitely a line that you're going to cross at a certain point where the frame, a lighter frame would have certain disadvantages. So I guess it's just finding, for the majority of users in most situations, what is the desired weight ratio to their body size. So I think the answer is, like, comes down to your weight and size, and relative to that, that's how you would want to know what's the right weight of the frame that you want. Because the heavier frame does make it more stable.
Yeah.
And the what the wizards are designed for, like, the intention is not for the guys, like, that are great skaters and doing all the jumps and all this kind of stuff, even though that's also great for them. But the intention is to allow the average user, most people, to have a safe and easy experience, to allow them to experience skating with I guess less limitations, let's say, because some of the barriers to entry would be, you know, you're gonna fall, you're gonna hurt yourself, you're probably not gonna continue skating. So if we can, this is such an important factor that we have to account for, is, well, if we can make the skates a little bit more stable, even though we might compromise certain things, I think that's, if we keep looking at who are we designing it for, it's kind of like a guiding, it guides us to design them to do a better job for the desired user.
Yeah, so I mean, and it even came up on Reddit. One of the people said that because they are heavier, they have more momentum, and the faster you go, the more stable they actually become because of that. So if you have a really light frame and your skate's really, really light, then once you get going at speed, it's still really easy to move it, right? But with heavier frames, once you get going at speed and they have all that momentum, you know, it's just Newton's laws, right? You know, they tend to stay in the same direction. So they're harder to move, but they're also much more stable because of that.
Exactly. And then just asking the question is, like, you know, what is the desired purpose? Is the user going to be going really fast, or is the user going to be doing jumps and swivels kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, I was just curious because it does seem like pretty much everyone else on the market has this push to zero, like you said. You know, this, we reduced the weight, it's so great. Now they're made out of really lightweight aluminum alloy, you know, and all these cutouts and complicated engineering and all that, and, you know, is it better?
Is it what the customer is looking for? That's the question.
Yeah.
And I don't think the customer really knows what they're looking for. And like yourself, for example, like you, and you went really far out of your way to do the research. So that's why it's so exciting for me to talk to you, because there's so many people out there that have the same questions, but they get lost in the process and they probably never follow through with actually writing them down and organizing their thoughts and doing the research and kind of getting to where you got to. And that's why it's so valuable for me to talk to people like you, because if like I have to be able to communicate it in a way that is, like you said, that's just physics. You know, if we can find, it's not that I'm making up the design and then trying to market it. I'm just trying to kind of discover what it should have been in the first place.
Right. I mean, I think it's really good that you're not, you know, it's one of the things that I've experienced a lot, you know, and I have sort of an engineering background. You know, I'm computer science now, but I know enough about design where I just don't believe marketing very much. And if I myself can't understand why something works, then I want to ask questions until I can. It's sort of always been the way I have been as a person, particularly with things I buy. You know, I want to know how it works. And if I don't, you know, I don't like really vague marketing stuff, right? And so, I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time, because even since we've talked, I've learned an awful lot about, you know, the different factors that go into design and why you might want things one way or another way. And, you know, I do think it's important, like you said, to figure out who you're targeting your skates for, because why would it make sense for them to be the same for different things? You know, you have aggressive skates that have the anti-rocker and the really long wheelbase so that when you jump, they're much easier to land with, right? Versus they're kind of terrible for skating around on the streets, right? And so why would they be the same, you know?
Exactly. So I really value you and your time and effort put into this. Yeah, obviously you're going to eventually get skates and enjoy whichever skate you get, in my opinion. But it's your background is very helpful for, I don't know, in today's age when we can communicate so easily with everyone, like, it's almost, if we can figure out a short combination of words that would make it easier for people to understand, it can have a really big impact, really fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's really so incredible.
Yeah.
All right, so let me see. I think we hit most of the questions from my initial email. You know, all the ones, the five sections, you know, kind of apologize. You know, I'm cool with email. I type pretty fast and I'm used to it. But I think this call has worked out well. You know, it gives us the ability for a more fluid back and forth and that sort of thing. So we talked about stability. We talked about, let me see, natural rocker. All right, well, you know, let's just ask some of the boring bookkeeping type stuff. You know, I had this in my second email, you know, my sizing and stuff. From the conversations we've had, you know, I think based on my understanding that the Wizard skates would be actually a good fit for me. So I'm interested in figuring out the sizing and that sort of thing. And so, you know, we sort of talked about the wheels and how I'd probably want to go with the 110 millimeter, but in terms of the boot sizes, like I'm on the website right now, and let me see. If I look at the sizing, you know, like I said, one of the sizes is like a 28 centimeter size, and one of the sizes is a 29 centimeter size. So given that my foot is like 28 and a half centimeters long, which boot size would I go with, probably?
Great question. Sizing has been a little, still in like an interesting experimental stage, because we sell most of them online.
Yeah.
And the pretty noticeable breaking in period. So the liners, when you get them, they're, and those are all things that we're slowly going to improve towards future skates. I think sizing will get a little less confusing, but yeah. It's good that you're asking it, because it is, like, so at the moment, I run, like, the ShopTask website, and I run the Wizard Skating website, and in a way, we're kind of trying different things on both websites to figure out how to communicate it. So the best way for me is when someone asks me, I would tell them, can you measure your foot? Both feet in centimeters, length and width. And then I need to know their past experience. So I would have a set of about 5 questions. If they're using any special insoles, what kind of socks are they using, what kind of skates they used in the past. And because everyone has different sensitivity, I would say. Some people want their skates extremely tight, and some people like to have a little bit of wiggle room in the toe. And it all depends kind of what kind of performance you're looking for. So aggressive skaters would usually want their skates as small as possible, because any movement inside the boot will make it so much more difficult to control when you're grinding on rails and switching up between tricks. And then for slalom skaters, same thing. Precision is so important. Yeah. But then someone skating for fun, recreationally, for 5 hours, the comfort will be more important than performance. Same as for the average user, stability would be more important than essentially maneuverability. Yeah. Like, the safety of the skate is so important, and the comfort of the skate is so important. So this kind of, I don't know if this is necessary to say, but just to help you understand where I'm coming from. So I've been running the store as a retail store where I deal with customers for over 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the business for 12 years. So I've dealt with a lot of online stuff, but in person every day. I guess the first conclusion was that the skate needs to be comfortable in order for it to be mass adopted. So the hardcore skaters, they might be okay with breaking in their skates. And so there's skates out there like adopt skates, which are really expensive, really good quality. But you have to heat mold them.
Yeah. I mean, I've read a fair bit, you know, just because, like I said, I'm a research-focused person. And so from what I've been able to come up with, the Intuition liners used in the Wizard skates are basically the best on the market. You know, they are heat moldable, but they also naturally mold. And the carbon fiber boot, you know, is also basically, you know, it's the lightest and stiffest you can get. You know, I've seen lots and lots of people that said, once they switched from, you know, like very soft liners, like the ones that come stock on Sabo boots, to like an Intuition liner, which is much stiffer, then the skates become much more responsive, but they're also not a lot more uncomfortable. At least that's my understanding, is that when you have a liner that molds to your foot, then you get that perfect balance between comfort and like responsiveness, to where your skates are responsive, but they're also not uncomfortable.
Exactly. And that's a huge thing when you move up to larger wheels. Because the larger you go with the wheels, the more kind of torque you would put into your skate, the more pressure on your shin, the stiffer the boot would need to be to support all that kind of force that goes into it. So and the Intuition liner, I guess my point was, like, that was the beginning of the kind of where the Wizard skates now is. So the Intuition liner was kind of like a project because they're a local company in Vancouver. And at one point, I reached out and said, hey, would you guys want to like kind of help make a liner for a skate? Because I realized how helpful it is in skiing and what kind of brand loyalty and how much people are willing to pay for comfort. So in ski boots, people don't mind paying an extra $200 to make their ski boots feel good.
Yeah.
And I guess that was kind of my conclusion. Like, okay, like the skates have to be, the more comfortable they are, the easier it's going to be to allow people to experience skating. If the skates are not comfortable, you're so limited to kind of keeping their attention. They're like, oh, no, this is too painful or too uncomfortable or too unsafe. Like, I'd rather go hiking kind of thing.
Yeah.
So removing those barriers of comfort was at the top of the list. And then moving from there, so this came from, honestly, from me working in the shop. And we were selling ski boots in the winter. And just seeing how a plastic boot, like it, at the end of the day, skates or ski boots, it's a plastic shell or a hard shell with some sort of a foam that helps your body communicate with the wheels.
Right.
And the ski. So the, you know, the idea that the boot will be perfectly shaped for every foot is unrealistic. And then the likelihood of the shell fitting a person is also very minimal because everyone has such a different foot shape. So there has to be something somewhere, some compromise. And I think just like the right quality foam is the right area to invest to.
Yeah.
Kind of fill in all those spaces. The liner has to be moldable to some degree to, yeah, to give that flexibility of like wider range of feet shapes and whatnot. So later, the Wizard Frame was almost the second step of this project, which was, I guess the optimal goal is to make a skate that just, if there was one skate that's not going to be the best for slalom skating or speed skating or whatever, but one skate that's going to be the best non-specialized skate for the average person.
Yeah.
Like the iPhone in a way. I know it's such a cheesy comparison, but it's true. In like every industry, there's always going to be one product that is kind of the, it's not, it's arguably not the best, but it's the most practical and it's the most, I don't know, has the,
well, I mean, how about even just the least work to set up, the thing that works out of the box for the most people? You know, it's why iPhones are so valuable. You know, I like to get in the nuts and bolts, so I use Android, but I still recommend iPhones to most people, like my parents and stuff, because they just work, right? You know?
Yep.
And they work for a wide variety of people right out of the box. And that's definitely important.
Yeah, exactly. And that's who they're designing for. And Android designs to a different customer.
Yeah.
So I guess with the Wizard, with the natural rocker line, because as a skater, I do want to experiment with weird setups that's not going to work for everyone and see what kind of skating will come out of it, which is actually something I would like to mention about Min. But what the Wizards, like what you're looking at, which is the Wizard skate, is all started with the Intuition liner and then slowly started questioning the aspect of like, okay, what's the perfect wheel size for everyone? And at the time we were selling, when I would sell skates, I would sell 80 millimeter wheels to smaller, to people with smaller feet, and 84 millimeter skates to people with slightly larger feet.
Right.
And the lot there was, you know, obviously the longer your foot, you don't want the wheels to be kind of hiding under your foot, so you want them gradually to grow with your size. But then I felt that 84 or 80 was good in the store. When they were kind of standing in the store, they could experience good control. They were able to move well, and the skates were light and nimble. But in practicality, where they're going to use it is going on the pathway more for kind of exercise, being active, being outdoors. And the reality is in that situation, the surface will be a lot different. They will be moving at a different speed. So what I'm selling them in the store has to account for how they're going to experience the actual skating. But so what I realized in reality, a 90 millimeter would work better than an 84 millimeter setup because it will feel a bit more stable. And once you're not a complete beginner, like once you're a decent, like you skated 20 hours, 30 hours, and you have a little bit of control, you're not going to have a hard time maneuvering the 90 because the wheels will also wear out into a natural rocker. But if you're a complete beginner and you start with a 90, it might take you months to get the frame to a natural rocker position.
Right.
Where if you're a good skater, you put on the 90s, you go out there after like a couple hours, you're like, perfect, this, I can maneuver, I can do everything I want. And then that's where the idea came from. Okay, like we should, I was experimenting a lot with just letting, like I would give someone a 90 millimeter frame and they would say it's a little too long. I could see that they're having a harder time with it. And then I would experiment by giving them an 84 millimeter wheel in the front, just lifting the front wheel. And that seemed to work for pretty much every person that I tried. So I would sell quite a few skates like that, just kind of pushing people to be on the right setup to begin with, instead of getting a small frame and then in the future not getting the desired experience that they want to get. So that's kind of where the idea of creating a slightly longer frame but adding a little bit of a rocker came from.
Yeah. Well, I guess a question that perhaps comes out of this is, you know, like skates like for slalom, like typically it's like 76, 80, 80, 76, right? And the rocker's a lot bigger for that. So what's the benefit of only having the rocker just barely be there versus having it much bigger?
So with slalom skates, and that was my first transition from aggressive skating into kind of what I'm doing now was the slalom skate. And I kind of went pretty deep into it as well for a year or two. But what happens on a slalom skate, if you get a flat setup and you're a top-level slalom skater, the wheels would naturally wear out into that same rocker that the wheels are, the banana rocker.
Mm-hmm.
So because you're going to be moving forwards and backwards, you're not going to be skating straight. You're just going to be, most slalom skaters use their slalom skates only when they do cones, like the top slalom skaters. They don't use the same skates to go outside and skate around.
Right.
They almost like keep them so pristine for that purpose. So, and the way they use the skates is moving forwards and backwards equally. So their wheels wear out the same in the front and in the back. So they're not kind of creating that same forward tilt that you would create when you do on an, that you would get from general skating, like skating forward mostly and not doing as many turns. So the reason their wheels are in such a sharp rocker is because of their movements and how tight they're trying to do their turns and everything is what wears out those outer wheels. They're turning so much sharper than the average user, and I guess they're trying to just maximize that turning ability.
And so would it be the case then that having the rocker more extreme, having the wheels more off the ground, actually does improve your turning some?
Yeah, it will increase your range of motion. So the higher you raise the outer wheel, the further back you'll be able to lean. Whether you'll be stable in that position or not, that's a different question. Yeah. That would depend on how far the wheel comes out. But it would increase your kind of how far you can lean back or forward.
Right. Well, I mean, and slalom skaters actually want to be on one wheel a lot of the time too, right? And is that easier when they're more rockered, I'd assume? You know, just better angles for balancing on one wheel?
I guess with this, it mostly would depend on the position of the wheel, like exactly where it is under your foot. So it would kind of vary for different sizes, I would say. And So yeah, the rocker doesn't really help, but what helps is being as close as possible to the ground and having it positioned in the right place. And the right place, it could change. Like, you might be able to adjust. But for example, when the frame is long, you have to use a lot more power to lift your body up.
Right.
So it's much easier when the wheels are underneath your skate. Because then you can use your body weight to just lean on it instead of, in a way, let's say if you're trying to get on your heel and your last wheel sticks out really far, you almost have to use your toes to push up on the skate to help you. You have to activate a lot of muscles to help you get that far back.
Right. And so basically what you're saying is the reason for the more extreme rocker on slalom skates is because it just lets you lean farther and it lets them get the more extreme angles where they're leaning far forward, going through the cones and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It will allow you to turn really sharp and being on a really kind of steep angle at the same time.
Just because it lets you lean more. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Cool. It makes sense. I guess another thing I sort of wanted to get your take on. So the Wizard Skates use the UFS frame with a pretty close mount, right? So, you know, you don't have a lot of space between the wheels and the bottom of the boot. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've seen Power Skate has their Trinity frame that they've been pushing pretty hard. You know, and from an engineering perspective, it makes pretty good sense. If you have two mounting points up front, it means that the power transfer into the frame from the boot actually can have that like horizontal component and it sort of gives you more edge control and that sort of thing. Did you like think about that sort of thing when you chose the UFS system or, is there a reason for UFS versus other things?
Yeah. Excellent question. So first I agree. I think the Trinity system is in terms of controlling your edges is superior to the UFS system for sure. And just the idea of hockey skates, you know, they're mounted on wings. So even not the mounting, but just having those wings stick out of the frame to the sides will increase the reactiveness, let's say, or energy transfer. It will help utilize the weight that you put on when you lean over to transfer it more directly into the frame and eliminating flex. So yeah, more direct connectivity with your edges, essentially. And the Trinity, compared to UFS, I think is a better system. And I'm honestly, better system in terms of performance, I would say. What I'm trying to say is if the Wizard's frame was UFS, the UFS is not just the two center bolts. The UFS is a flat boot.
You say that again? What kind of boot?
Flat.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So the difference between like traditional skates, so skates started from the design of ice skates where the heel is raised. And the reason the heel is raised is to help you bend the knees a little bit more forward, and it's a more optimal position for forward skating. And UFS system came out and was developed by Salomon in early 2000 as the first system, as the first universal system for slalom and aggressive skating, and it became a standard in aggressive skating, and it's still the standard, and it over time just became the standard of aggressive skating.
Right.
But the first, at the beginning, they also had like the Salomon FSK, which was essentially the first slalom or freestyle skate before Seba existed and things like that. So the idea of the UFS is keeping you as close as possible to the ground and allowing you to move backwards and forwards. So it's not directional, basically. It's less directional.
Right.
It doesn't bias
you one way or the other.
Table skis, like a freestyle, the difference between a freestyle ski and a free ride ski, freestyle ski would be mounted more in the center so you can go backwards or forwards equally and feel the same, experience the same stability.
Right.
And the more your ski is designed for downhill and forward, the mounting changes and the shape changes. So the UFS is more of that freestyle system, I would say. That's why it makes more sense than a raised heel. The Wizards is what makes the that style of skate, which is that freestyle skate. The natural rocker Wizards frame is what makes that forward tilt, is what makes them act more like a raised heel skate that has a directional purpose.
And so why would you want that in the wheel design rather than the boot design? Is there a benefit to having that in the wheels themselves? Is it because they wear more evenly that way, like we've talked about, and that sort of thing?
Because I guess the starting point is, okay, let's make a boot that is like as close to the ground as possible. And that's just having like the thinnest piece of carbon fiber, having like intuition foam in like the thinnest form possible.
Right.
And having a really solid base. So the race, the UFS is probably just for the practicality of it, is the most, me being an aggressive skater for all my life, like since 1996 probably, is, and then the UFS system came out and it's just so practical, and I sell a lot of skates in the store of all different systems. And the UFS system is it's a more modern and more kind of thoughtful it's the most modern design of inline skates. The first inline skates, like all the skates that you see, are based on the kind of geometry or the design of an ice skate.
Right.
That's where it's coming from. And I guess I don't think that skating is as close to ice skating as the product that inline skating offers.
Yeah.
I feel like inline skating should have, for youth outdoors, but yeah, the way I see skating and what I'm kind of trying to design towards is, if you think of ice skating is designed for a flat surface, because it's ice, it would only be flat, smooth, with so there's no elevation and there's no uneven terrain.
Right.
So the skate design makes sense there. As soon as you take that and you add the variable of elevations plus a different roughness of terrain, the skate design has to account for that and it has to change.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but say you have a pretty pronounced heel raise, right? Then that puts you leaning more forward. Which would mean if you're going downhill, you really don't want to be leaning forward, right? You want to be leaning backward. And
exactly.
So it's like working against you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. That makes sense. So I guess with respect to the design then, let's say hypothetically you had like a flat UFS tile boot, but you had a Trinity mount on it. Would that be like the best of both worlds?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And that's like, I'm at the point where I don't look at it as like I'm trying to do something that is like that I want to put my name on necessarily.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to fight it, like, if it's better, if it's more logical. If another company like Powerslide came out with it, that's great. If I have to like pay them royalties or whatever needs to happen. If it's a better system, I would want to make it happen. It's not that I'm trying to make everything under the wizard label, for example. It's like,
yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
if it works, let's do it. It will be better. Like, it would make our skates better. And then people would want them even more. Like, I don't want, like, any aspect of the skate to have something out there that is more logical, but I'm resisting that to adapt to it because of kind of financial or...
Sure.
Yeah, I want the intention to kind of stay pure and...
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's very good. I mean, and the Trinity frames are like 2015, right? They're very new.
Exactly.
So,
that's a more modern design. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think some of what I've read about Power Slide, I think they're talking about letting other skate companies use the frames. I'm not sure what the royalty situation is like, but I know there's been talk of having it adopted more widely than just through Power Slide's offerings. I'm not sure if that's happening yet or what, but, you know.
Yeah, and to be honest, they haven't designed a UFS Trinity thing because they're not invested in the UFS system. The Trinity mount, so when we designed the Wizard frames, the whole three-wheel thing started after that.
Yeah.
Again, that everyone would see it from their own perspective. Everyone would tell a different story. But from our perspective, at the time, PowerSlide was making, they called it Power Blades, which were kind of larger wheels, 80-millimeter wheels, on aggressive skates. And that's what they were really promoting, power blading is kind of like the cool. Power blading was the three-wheel, the tri-skating of 2013, I guess, or something like that. And that was entering the market really hard. So like the 80-millimeter wheels, hard boot, was... there. Three wheels just didn't exist at that point, or didn't exist like in a... Yeah, no one knew about them. And then Power Slide... Or the way I see it is big wheels became, like Wizard frames came out, and it was almost like, oh, now the wheels got bigger. And Power Slide, but what limited Power Slide to make bigger wheels was the fact that as soon as you go bigger with the wheels, you're losing maneuverability. So the solution was like, well, we can go with bigger wheels because that's what the skaters want now.
Yeah.
But we'll make less wheels, but maintaining the maneuverability. Or the Wizard kind of view was like, we can go with bigger wheels and add rocker to it. So it was just kind of going into slightly two different directions.
Right.
And I feel like Pop Slide, the three wheel was way like more flashy, markety thing. It's like, it's new, it's exciting, it's easier for people to adapt to quicker because it mimics a more similar stride.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
so for
and,
some of,
you know, like we talked about earlier, for people that are turning with their toes and trying to turn their bodies, well, then it is going to be easier for them, right? If they're trying to turn like that.
You will use a more similar technique that you would use on the 80s, but all of a sudden you have this added speed. So it's kind of, it makes a lot of sense why it's so attractive to people.
Yeah.
And but in practicality, the only people that can enjoy it are people that are good skaters, that want another setup. It's not like their primary. If you look at all the edits of people using the three wheels for the most part, they have like a few other setups as well.
Right.
So that Power Slide marketing, it's a little like, you know how marketing works, but when the three wheels came out, they sent free three wheel skates to like all the aggressive skaters that are producing media and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they really invested a lot of money in marketing this way. And people try them and they're like, oh, this is more fun. But there's very few people that are saying, I love my three wheels that tried the Wizards or gave enough try to a longer frame of a rocker. Like, a lot of people like the K2 R100 frames.
Well, I mean, it's almost, you know, we can talk about marketing, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of it ever, but it's like the bandwagon effect, right? You know, tri-skates are cool, tri-skates are in, everyone else is using tri-skates, and so, you know, whereas a lot of the stuff we've talked about, for example, you know, like I said, I sort of have an engineering background, so physics is interesting for me and whatnot, but you'd really lose people, right? If you just started talking about wheelbase and effective contact distances and turning radius, and this sounds scary, right? But
and I'm careful with I'm very careful with Wizards. Like, I don't want it to be this super nerdy, but it is super nerdy on the back end. There,
right? Well, I mean, and I think it's good for that, right? And you know, it's always hard. You know, for example, I'm a very blunt person, so my ideal, you know, type of marketing is I have a bullet point list of all the engineering details that make my product good, right? And the problem is that that's so different from how people have come to expect advertising, where you really have to, like, sell the product and make it look cool and exciting. And I mean, and, you know, I don't want to throw PowerSlide under the bus either. You know, I think they've done a lot of good and, you know, they are innovating and stuff. So, you know, and you know, it's not even them. I mean, I think all of the brands are like this, you know, Seba's the same way, and roller skate, you know, rollerblades and all of them. I mean, it's not bad. And, you know, they're a lot bigger than you guys are too. You know, like, they have huge product lines and, you know, they move a lot of volume. And so they have to sort of approach the problem from a different way. Right.
Yeah.
No,
we're almost fortunate to be as small as we are, and we're just we don't even have like so we don't have our what we do is we have the frame manufacturing kind of covered. We do it like locally, and it's growing, and we kind of have that process really well dialed in. The Intuition Liner is a company that I guess my goal is to I don't want to go through the hassle of learning how to make the best liners. I would rather go to the company that makes the best liners and say, hey, let's work together and make a liner for the best skate kind of thing.
I mean,
and then
it's ground up versus top down. You know, it's one of the, I don't know how familiar you are with computers, but this is very much how Unix systems work. You take the best pieces from the people that know what they're doing, rather than trying to have one thing that does it all. Right. And so you use the best parts to make something better than you ever could, because I mean, it's unrealistic. And I guess once a company gets big enough, maybe they can do that research. And, you know, I mean, and like sourcing stuff from like China and stuff with factories and quality control, and it's much easier if you can go to like local people you trust and do it there. You know, the only downside is it's probably going to be a little bit more expensive, that's all.
And that's why it's priced so high, is because we're in this really early stage of what we're actually trying to do. So for now, it's like, we don't, of course we care how many people buy it, but we don't have enough product to sell if we had a high demand for it.
Yeah.
So we're almost like keeping the price at a point where we can continue experimenting. And like right now I'm working on a bunch of new samples. You know, and Min is one of them. That's I don't know, you might find it interesting just because you brought it up. And I always want to be as open as possible about what we do, because I don't know, if anyone wants to do it, like take those ideas and run with them, it's like, that's awesome. Like, it's just going to move things along faster. But it's also kind of a good luck putting like the whatever 10 years that we put into like coming up to where we are. It will take a lot of work and a lot of variables to do a better product than what we're doing, in my opinion, because in the time, and I kind of test it every day, and I deal with customers every day, and I'm a skater myself, and I know amazing skaters.
I mean, you mentioned you have Intuition Liners local in Vancouver, right? Well, who else has, like, the best skate liner company in their city, you know? I mean, There's variables. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. All right, so where I was taking all this was that there seemed to be like an interesting like theoretical background for the Trinity design, particularly like how close you are to the ground with it, and then having like the horizontal wings to give you that control. From the pictures I've seen of the Wizard's Gates, it really doesn't seem like there's hardly any room between the wheels and the boots, right? You know, it's really very minimal.
So in terms of the distance from your foot, there is almost no difference between. The reason why we went with the UFS is because it was significantly lower than the non-UFS.
Right.
So a Wizard 100 will sit lower to the ground than an Igor boot, like the highest end Seba boot.
Yeah.
Would sit higher off the ground. On a 90-millimeter frame than the Wizard with the 100. So Wizard 100 would be lower than the Igor 90.
Right. I mean, and what I was interested in was more like how they stack up to the Trinity frame and other manufacturers that make the frames really low.
As soon as you have the raised heel in the back, so in the front of the boot, the way the Trinity is, there's still going to be a layer between the frame and your foot. So you can, like, the way the Wizards are on a flat frame, if it's like right against the boot, that's as close as you can go. The Trinity is almost like a correction. So the UFS system is closer to the ground than the non-UFS system. And what the Trinity system accomplished is to make it as close to the ground as the or potentially like a tiny bit even closer by cutting into the boot, which could also be done on the UFS boot. So just by having those bolts on the sides is kind of the equivalent of having the bolt right against the bottom on the UFS boot. You're still only like that one layer away from your foot.
Yeah.
So they basically, with the Trinity, they fixed the problem of the height. So now the UFS frame is no longer has the advantage of the being closer to the ground. But they also added the benefit of having those three points, which are superior. So that kind of edge control, and that's something I talked to Min about, because Min was using the Wizard frames. That was his kind of transition from aggressive skating for years.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered a pair of 100 Wizard frames from me, and he fell in love with it, and then he ordered two pairs of 110s from me. Or maybe one pair, I can't remember. I think one pair, and then I think he ordered another pair after. But we were shocked at how, like, a lot of the skating that we were kind of trying to figure out at the time, Min figured out on his own, kind of in another part of the world.
Yeah.
So he was able to do very similar movements. So we connected really fast, just kind of, holy, like, there's this guy that skates the same way we do. And, you know, so weird that the equipment almost, like, opened up all those doors for him. And he was a huge promoter of the Wizard frame. And then he moved to Barcelona. And then he tried the three-wheel frame and experimented with a bunch of different things. And we recently talked that he was basically saying that he loves, like, for his style of skating and where he's taking it, he loves the height of the 125, but he hates everything else about the skate or about the three-wheel kind of concept. So he's still in the same place that the four wheels rocker makes more sense, but he just loves being a little higher up the ground because it allows you to slide a lot better. You're able to lean over to the side further.
Uh-huh.
And what currently Wizard frames explore in terms of length, being able to lean forward and lean backwards and making it more similar to skiing, or making the movements a little more similar to skiing potentially, is what Min is exploring with being higher off the ground and leaning side to side. And then for something like this, leaning side to side, the Trinity mount works better. And being taller off the ground works better because you can lean further, meaning you can take more weight off your wheels. So the transition from turning to drifting to sliding is a lot easier to manage. Like there's a lot more, you have a lot more wheel to work with. That's kind of how Min explains it, and it kind of makes a lot of sense to me. So when he talked about it, he's like, so Leon, like, that's his, was his approach. He's like, so my request is, I'll pay anything. Can we make a four-wheel natural rocker 125? And in his mind, that would be his kind of best of all. Like, he'll have the stability and kind of that leaning back that he's looking for. And the longer frame helps you slide, be more stable and slide as well. So you always see those downhill guys with five wheels doing insane slides. Because again, that's going from turning to like digging in your heel a little bit more. Seems to work a little different than it works on short frames. So that's kind of the story with Min, and I love his skating. He's kind of the wizard skating golden child, I would say.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was. I mean, I was watching Lino's channel, and I saw the Barcelona videos with Min. I was just blown away. I mean, because you know, I mean, I'd seen skating videos before this and stuff. You know, it always looked cool, but you know, he was just like blowing through crowds of people, and he would like shed a bunch of speed with a parallel slide, and then two strides later, he'd be back up to speed. You know, around you know, it was incredible. So it's cool to know that he had your products, and that was the one thing. Another thing that I wanted to ask about, since you know you're experienced and in this sort of thing, is what exactly is edge control, and how do bigger wheels give you more of that? Because this is something I've seen that word pop up, like when I've been Googling around, and it always seems sort of vague to me. You know, like so, how do like 125s give you more of it? Is it because you can, like, lean farther, you have more extreme angles side to side?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I would call it edge control, but you have your edge. You see, on skis, it's very defined, because, like, you get on your one edge or the inside, like, outside edge or inside edge. On skates, you can really, the higher the wheels and the faster you're moving in the correct kind of turn radius, you are able to lean further with larger wheels. So let's say with a motorcycle, you know, if you're taking a corner, not the next one, but, you know, you can get really low in the corner the faster you go. If you don't have that momentum moving you forward, you're going to tip over and fall.
Right. Well, it's the gyroscopic effect, right? I mean, it's just momentum, like we talked about with the frames, too.
Exactly, yeah. And the point, what was I trying to say? That's maybe what people mean by having better edge control, is getting further on edge. You have more, the Trinity mount is what will give you more edge control, in my mind.
Yeah, like the left to right ability to apply forces to one side of the frame, right?
Well, that would be my definition of edge control.
Yeah, well, maybe edge control isn't the right word, but just like using edges in general is something that, like getting on edge.
Yeah,
what exactly does that mean?
So the taller you are, the quicker you would kind of fall kind of over to that edge, where the lower you are to the ground, it will take more kind of adjustment with your body to get on edge.
So is it just like the taller you are, like you need to move your ankle less to get on the edge of the bullet wheel with bigger wheels? Yeah, and so it's just less ankle movement, less extreme movements.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. And then so you said having that ability to go at more extreme angles with less movement, that helps you slide better, right? Like power slides, like magic slides, parallel slides, and all that?
Yep.
Okay, interesting.
So I think that's a really interesting, like, kind of area of skating where people do slides at the moment, but no one, I guess Min is like that guy that I think it can really explore that area far and be, he's like a very clever guy. I'm sure if you reach out on through Facebook or something, he'll answer questions. Like he's very outspoken on forums and whenever he does come up. But yeah, I think he's no one has like really explored that area of skating of what kind of setup would be really good for that sliding, drifting type movement. And he was the one that really kind of told me, Leon, like that, because we see eye to eye on things because we just look at it as, you know, this is just more logical.
Right.
It's same as you. At the end of the day, you'll ask a bunch of questions until you have no more. And
right.
If you don't find all the answers, then you're like, okay, well, I know this hasn't been thought about or hasn't been figured out yet. So he was the one that really said, like, Leon, the Trinity is like, kind of forget the thing about the height thing. That doesn't really make much of a difference. It does, but that's not the big kind of improvement. He said, just the way you control your edges, like that feeling is very noticeable compared to just having the mounting in the center.
Right.
So I'm kind of slowly working to figure this out. Not in like a huge rush to change it, because the boots that we use, because they're carbon fiber and the frame is so rigid, there's very little energy that gets lost there.
Yeah.
But I guess with time, like the boots we're using now, they're made for us, but they're a bit of an adjustment of the current skate. So we're just taking the F-Tech skate and we say, this is the skate that we find to work the best. Can you guys make it for us with no liners so we can put the Intuition liners in? So that's how we work with Seba.
Right. And you know, so I guess just to sort of wrap up, you know, my general impressions is that with the UFS system like you have and the mounting like you have, you're really not any higher than you are with Trinity skates, right? The height thing isn't very different between the two. So
exactly.
Is that right? And so the big difference just comes in that the Trinity have those extra mounting points, which I'm assuming would be more important if you didn't have the really stiff carbon frame and, you know, exactly. But it is philosophically superior. It's just a matter of time to, right?
And that's just, but if you do the Trinity mount, but the boot is made out of, like, the base of the boot is made out of plastic, you know, then it's pretty questionable. And the frame is not really sturdy. Like, if it's a cheaper kind of, I don't know, stamped aluminum, or I don't know what they would use on different Trinity mounts. So,
it's usually aluminum alloys. They have pretty light alloys is what they use.
Yeah. So if the boot is made out of plastic versus, I don't know how much difference does it make, but yeah, if we were to make a wizard version of that with the carbon boot and the mounting and everything, it would work better than the current wizard boot, basically.
No, but, you know, it's a question of how big a benefit is it versus how much effort you change your design and so on. But
yeah, exactly.
just interesting to think about, right? And I guess another question is the Trinities only have that, you know, hockey skates, I think they have wings in both the front and the back, right? Now, obviously, most people skate forwards more than backwards. And, you know, we sort of have the most power, like, on the ball of our foot. That's where we have the most control, at least I think, right? And so it sort of makes sense to have the two points there. But what would you think about having, like, rather than three mounting points, what about four? What about two horizontally spaced up front and two in the back as well? Would that be better?
Well, technically, yeah. I don't see why not. And when I was kind of trying to just kind of sketch it on a piece of paper, there's not very much space under your heel with the width of the frame.
Right.
But even if you have the mounting just in the center, but what I was thinking, if you still have the wings coming out, against the carbon boot, it would, you don't even need the bolts necessarily to still get that effect in the back.
Well, I mean, and I think a lot of it is just distributing the force over a wider area, right? You know, and part of the problem with the mounting the boots in a single line with the bolts, you know, like the normal 165 millimeters and the UFS and the 195s, is that you have all the force going into the center of your foot, right? And why not just spread that out a little more? I think that's
for sure
the idea, right? I mean, it just seems to make more sense that way.
I agree, yeah.
I mean, and of course, our feet are wider at, like, the toes than they are at the heel, too. So I guess that's why the Powerside people just said, well, let's make the 2 points up front where our foot's wider and it makes more of a difference, right, than at the heel where our heels just aren't as wide.
No, those are all great points. So for the, I do want to make some experimenting more with different frames. And I think when we experiment with, like the frames we're making for men, that would be a great one to try and make some, potentially see how it works. But that would be a frame where that Trinity kind of mount, or like, wings on the front and in the back, could really help control such a frame.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be fascinating to see if you do make a 4x125 millimeter with the wings. You know, that seems just about ideal from what I've been thinking about. So, you know, it's just cool.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that you guys are making all these, you know, like the like 5x100 millimeter, and, you know, you're trying all this stuff out that people just haven't done before because they just haven't thought about it, you know?
We're just kind of slowly just trying to push it, and it takes a while to kind of decide, okay, where is it worth investing, like, money?
Right.
We don't just, like, experiment with stuff that, like, it has to kind of make sense of, okay, we tried this, so now we need to try more legs instead of just going bigger with the wheels.
Right.
And now we kind of explore the length, and we understand, all right, that's kind of how it works. And then from the progressive rocker, from doing the five wheel, we kind of realized that, now we are also making an experimental 580s. So we made 590s and 500s as, like, the logical progression to test lengths further.
Right.
Because they're keeps on wanting the frame to be longer, so we kind of like, well, let's make it longer, but keep it closer to the ground, so we'll make more wheels.
Yeah.
And in theory, like, based on everything we talked about, in my mind, the more logical frame is 580s with a progressive rocker, which is same rocker as the natural rocker, but you have one additional position.
Yeah. And that would give you a smaller effective contact and tighter turning, right?
Exactly. Be closer to the ground. You'll have, so essentially a 580, not the frame base, but wheel to wheel.
Yeah.
Front wheel to the back wheel. So when you look down at your skates, they will stick out in the front and in the back exactly the same on a 580 as they would on the 4100.
Yeah.
Which is, but the 580 would be closer to the ground. It would be more stable because you have a longer effect, and you have a longer wheelbase, slightly longer. It doesn't look longer, but it would feel a bit longer. So you just gain stability, and you gain maneuverability because you have more a shorter effective contact.
Yeah, but, I mean, you lose stuff too, right? I mean, 80s are slower. They can't handle rougher stuff. You know, there's always trade-offs. But
exactly. But that's kind of where we're experimenting, and that experimentation is more like, well, like, we just don't know. So all we have to do is try it, test it, think about it, make kind of conclusions, and all right, so the next one, the 5100, we realize it's something that's like, cool, maybe a few people can
right
things and do some like things, but it's not where we're what we're after. This is more like personal experimentation of skaters, but as like the general public and what Wizards is wants to offer to the public. Like, I don't want to confuse people with like a bunch of cool frames for different purposes.
Yeah.
We want to like experiment, and those discoveries would help us make better frames and allow skating to be more interesting and, you know, exploring new movement. But still, to the public, we just want to offer like a very, offer them what they're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is maybe these would be better in some particular circumstances for some people, but, you know, like you were mentioning before, who are you designing the skate for? And if you want to design the best general purpose skate for the most people, then that's how you sort of arrived at the 4x90, 4x100 type thing, just because it would work well for lots of people rather than one specific group. I guess one question, you know, you mentioned this, and this is sort of, I'd be interested, you said that you were thinking about making a 4x125 for men, is that right? And do you think it would work? Like, do you think the wheelbase and the effective contact would make it, would it just be too big, do you think?
Well, I guess it depends for what. I think for men, like, he wants to do it because he thinks that's going to be, best skate.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to me, like, Leon, I'll pay anything. I was like, no, that's cool that you want to do it. I'm more than happy, like, to kind of help out with this. And so we're making two of them. We're actually, probably going to happen next week. So we're working on our production now. So we like ran out of our 100mm frame very recently. We have a few more that need to be anodized, but like the majority, we're in the process of making a whole new batch of frames now. And then this week, I think they started working on production, and next week there's a few experimental frames that we're making. So they're being kind of designed at the moment. I'm not the designer kind of thing, so... But right. Communicate all the ideas, and we're like, okay, that's how we want it, and this, and this, and this. And the guy that's designing it is a skater, and he's been using the Wizard frames for a few years, so it's pretty easy to kind of test all those things and explain to him what we're trying to do. Yeah. And he worked with Dan, the guy that makes the Wizard frames, and he has, his own factory, essentially. So we got, a pretty optimal situation right now with the Wizards frame production, so we're able to test some really cool stuff. It's expensive, but at least we can produce, you know, prototype stuff very well made,
right,
pretty quickly. Which is awesome.
I was talking to someone about this, you know. Expense is sort of a relative thing, because if you amortize the cost of using skates that you actually use more often because they're more comfortable and they're better made and they're more fun, then the amount of hours you get out of your skates is actually higher, and therefore it may actually be worth it, right? And
exactly.
So if your skates, you know, $900 like the Wizard skates are, then that's obviously a lot of money. But if you skate in them more because they're more fun and they're more comfortable and all that, then maybe you skate, let's say, 100 hours in your $900 skates versus 20 hours in your uncomfortable fitness skates with the soft boot, just because they don't work as well, right?
And that's how I look at many parts. Like the bearings, for example, I look at it as which bearing would last me the longest for the amount of money that it costs. So per use or like per hour, like which bearing is the best value.
Yeah.
And that, for me, it's like the rust-proof bearings, for example. They're not the most expensive bearings, but they're not the cheapest, but they last with minimal maintenance.
Right, and it's just it's sort of a shift from how a lot of people think about products, you know, particularly at least here in America. I don't know what it's like elsewhere, but people are very focused on making everything really cheap and, like, disposable, right? And if you actually sort of change the way you think about things and you buy really well-made, high-quality products that are more expensive, but they'll last you longer, you actually come out money ahead in the long run, which is sort of, I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around if you're used to buying cheap stuff that you throw away when it breaks, but if you invest in higher quality stuff, then you don't have to.
And you're right. It is a North American, it's probably a Western world kind of way, but yeah, Japanese people, for example, they're very much in that, you know, they'd rather spend a little bit more money and have something that would last longer, and they value quality in a different way. And it's pretty tough to communicate exactly what you're saying to North American people. But it's getting easier with just how we share information and people reviewing products. Then
yeah,
I think products need to be out there long enough. Like the Intuition liners, for example, when they came out, they're double the price than any other liner, and if they cost more than some skates.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people weren't into it, but now, you know, the people that talk about them, and they're like, well, those liners lasted me through like three different skates or four different skates. They're like, they smell, like things like this, but yes, it is, there are issues, of course, but in terms of how much use people get out of them and how much enjoyment they get out of every use, yeah, you're looking at it the way, yeah, the long term, you get a better...
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think I just have a couple more. So one of the last things that got mentioned on Reddit was the idea of T-stops. This is going back to differences between wheel heights and tri-skates versus wizard frames. And one of the people on Reddit was saying that he thought it was easier to T-stop with tri-skates than wizard frames. And I was sort of asking, okay, well, why? And, you know, he just said that the bigger wheels have more contact area when you angle them, and this sort of getting back to slides, right? So when we talk about slides like power slides and magic slides and whatnot, then you have those really big angles. Well, how do you think bigger wheels stack up when you're just doing a T-stop?
It's true. Yeah, I never really thought about a T-stop in that way, but because I teach skating as well, so when you teach the T-stop, it's pretty tricky because you have to really balance well
right
on the rope foot. So if you don't have good balance on one foot, the T-stop is really difficult. And the way it works is you want, initially when you start the T-stop, you want to be almost 95% of your weight to be on your rolling foot,
yeah,
and 5% will like graze the ground lightly. And then slowly you will apply more and more pressure onto the stopping foot. But you got to kind of keep forward, keep your shoulders forward. So the beginners or people that don't roll very well on one foot, they can't be as precise with how much pressure they put on their rolling foot versus the other foot.
Right.
Or experienced skater could kind of put the foot down and kind of control the pressure transfer from one foot to the other. Where for a beginner or with a 125, because the wheel sticks out further, it will be easier for you to kind of touch lightly with the bigger wheels.
Well, but at the same time, without the wheelbase, you know, the wizard skates are a lot more stable, and so that makes being on one foot that much easier. So.
Yeah.
You know, just pros and cons, right? But
yeah, different, exactly. Yeah, you're right. The longer wheelbase will make you stop quicker. So if your objective is to stop faster, I think the longer wheelbase would stop you quicker. There would be more points of contact.
No.
Not even long wheelbase, but just the closer you are to the ground, the more efficient, like the more energy you'll be able to transfer than being taller.
But,
and it'd be harder to stop because you're larger wheels to begin with, so they would slow down slower than a smaller wheel.
But I guess the idea is that the bigger wheels give you that, you know, you can get to more angles with less movement of your ankle and that sort of thing. Maybe maybe that's what was being discussed. All right. Well, yeah. I think we've actually hit most of my questions, believe it or not, both on here and the Reddit thread. And I think really talked through most of all the questions I had. So that's good. The only thing left, and, you know, I sort of mentioned this earlier, is, you know, in my second email to you, I sent you the specifications for my feet. You know, I said my feet are pretty symmetric, like 28.5 centimeters without socks, about 28.6 with socks. You know, I'm like a pretty regular in shoes, not wide, but I have a pretty narrow heel. So, you know, this gets back to the question I was asking before. You know, we sort of got sidetracked off of the sizing, but...
To give you the answer there is, you haven't used many skates.
I haven't skated in a long time, actually, years. So, and I haven't skied either. I haven't done anything where my feet have been really tight.
So because of that factor, I would go for, I would get you into the size, slightly larger size, where like in some people with your foot size might be able to go more into the 28 zone.
Yeah.
Because they want it really tight and they don't mind like kind of working the liners in to get the perfect kind of performance. But for you, I think the comfort will be more important, and it's not going to be a noticeable difference in performance anyway.
Right.
So for you, I would go with... So the way it works, we order the shells from Seva, and they come in European sizes of 44, 45, 46, 47.
Right.
So what I would go... But then the Intuition liner comes in small, medium, large. And we... Because the liner is moldable, each liner works for two, in some cases even three different shells. Because they're moldable, there's quite a bit of like range. So for you, it would be like the 45 shell with the size large liner will be what I would recommend. The size large liner is designed to fit from size, I believe, 28 to 29 and a half.
Well, that's where I am. I'm in there.
Yes, you're in the right range. And then the size medium liner would fit in the range of the 27, 28.
Yeah, I'm bigger than that. So.
Yeah, you're a taller guy, so that's kind of just probably there's a little bit more volume to your foot somewhere there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I've had problems with in the past is that I have pretty narrow heels, like relative to other things. So if I can't lace around my instep tight enough, my heel will slide up and down and I'll get blisters. That really mostly happens with like hiking boots. Like tennis shoes doesn't matter, but tennis shoes are kind of squishy anyway, you know, not a lot of pressure points. I'm on the website right now, you know, all this stuff with the liners and stuff, you know, the sizing seems to just be in terms of centimeters, right? So that would that mean the 29 centimeter boot, like size 11 US?
Yep.
Well, then that's the 110 frame, like we talked about. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You will be in that size. A few things to consider if you are using a special insole. So if you have a narrow heel, that's just me like testing my theories. But if you have a narrow heel, would that mean that you have a high arch?
Probably, yeah, I would say. I mean, and another thing, I don't know how big a difference this is, but I try not to wear shoes that much. I'm pretty into the whole, like, minimalist sandal type thing, so my feet are probably significantly stronger than a lot of people who have had, you know, like, really flat feet. So I go barefoot a lot, too. Like, I don't run barefoot. I'm not that hardcore. But I've worn sandals with zero drop for 2 or 3 years now. So I have significantly stronger foot muscles, I think, than a lot of people who have had their feet in shoes. And I do think that means that my arch is higher.
Using your foot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't done, like, measurements on it. I mean, I don't know all that much about foot measurements. But
for a lot of people, when the heel is pretty wide, it's because they pronate a lot, so they have a lot of compression in the heel because the arch collapses and they have a flat foot and there's more footprint on the heel.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I don't think that's me. I don't have flat feet. Like I said, I think especially since I've started wearing zero drop sandals, my arches have gotten bigger. I mean, I think it's normal. And for that sort of footwear.
Cool. And so you might benefit from in the future from an insole. I wouldn't worry about it for now. Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a down-the-line sort of thing. I mean, and the other thing with these, you can sort of lace the boot a little bit tighter, right? Even if you're in a 29, I said, I'm 28.5, and, as long as you lace it tight enough over the instep, your foot's really not going to move anyway. And that's the benefit of the Intuition liners, is that it molds to your foot, right? And,
okay. Yeah, they're like really precise. It's not like a plastic shell. The whole top layer that holds your foot down is all material with like layers of glue and whatnot.
Right.
And so you can get it as tight as you need. And then if you feel if there is some extra room over time, the solution would be to put like almost like an insole under the liner to give a little more shape to the base of the boot and fill in that space a little better. But when we sell the skates, we actually send them with an additional insole that you can put under the liner.
I can experiment. The question would be if I'd have, because you can always raise the skates up a little bit and that will fill in, like, because the farther are you off, normally there's a little bit of a taper to the boot vertically. So if you're up a little higher, you also have less horizontal room. The only question would be whether my foot's a little bit too short for the boot. And I think based on what you were saying with the liners, you said the liner fits like 28 to 29.5, right? And then
28.5 to 29. Yeah, let me quickly double check. Just because you're recording it, I don't want to sound uneducated about our own product. It's interesting because it's kind of different for different people in different skates. Because the liner, a lot of people can use a small and a medium in the same skate, and one would be stick out a little higher, one might be tighter at first, but once they fully stretch, they will stretch as far as the boot can allow them, basically, and it's much depending on the pressure of your foot. But one second, I just want to double check. So then, the large one we advertised from like 29 to 30.5, and the medium can go from 27 to 28.5.
Well, I'm 28.5, so.
And yeah, I would still say you would be in a 45 shell. You can be in a 45 shell with a medium liner, and that would be, it would work well. And that's kind of how we were selling the size. So when we first got them, the size 45 shell with the medium liner seems to fit like a 28.5, and I think that's how we still have it advertised on ShopTask.
I'm looking on ShopTask right now, and you have options for 8, 8.5, 9.5, or I guess like centimeters, like 26.5, 27.5, 28, and then 29. And there's nothing between 28 and 29.
Yeah, that's right. We changed it here. thinking, yeah, I guess with time, we kind of, I know it sounds kind of weird, but with time, we're just trying to always change the size of it as less confusing to the customer as possible.
Yeah.
So if they're like, I'm more of a 29, then we're like, okay, we know which one to put you in. So in your case, the 45 shell would be the one for sure. And the 45 shell could work with medium liner, but also also the large liner. So I would say still go with the large liner in that shell because it will come up a little higher.
Yeah.
And because you're not used to like such tight fitting footwear.
Right. Well, I mean, it's sort of a usage thing, right? I mean, I'm planning on skating for longer periods of time versus really stuff that needs super fine control, right? And in that case, you want a little more room anyway, right?
And yeah, exactly. And that's why, yeah, I would go more of the larger one. And honestly, once they pack out, it would be very difficult to tell. But I think because you're a taller guy, the only noticeable difference, the large might come out a little higher on the outside.
Right.
And I think that gives taller, you better wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better it ankle support, better like sticking to your shin type thing.
Exactly. That shin thing is huge because that takes the pressure away from your ankles. And with a lot of skates, that's the problem when you go to bigger wheels. Your ankles are too vulnerable, I would say, with a lower cuff or with a normal size cuff. So the cuff's getting higher, the liner gets higher, takes the pressure off, off your ankles, and allows you to put a lot more weight into it. And yeah, huge differences, huge benefits.
Right, makes sense. So I guess I'm on board for buying the skates. Which one would I put in the cart then? You said 25 shell large liner, right? Is that...
So choose the 29. And just, you can even write in the order comment, 25 shell, 45 shell with large liner. I'll be the one shipping the order, so...
Well, you'll know it's me. I'll put my name.
Cool.
Well, yeah, we definitely talked about it.
If you check our U.S. website, so we have a ShopCast USA website.
Is there? Let me check.
It's USA.ShopCast. So if you go on the ShopCast website.
Oh, yeah, I see.
So if you look over there, and you go under the Wizards Gates, the size that we have at the moment shown there, that's kind of the way we displayed it at the beginning. We showed shell size.
I see. I see a 10.5, 45, 28.5 centimeter. Is that?
That's you, basically. That's the shell. That's the 45 shell.
Yeah.
But if, the reason why we kind of decided now, once we made the Wizard Skating website, decided to get rid of the EU size, because it doesn't fit like another EU in the 45. Like, so if you have another skate that's a 45, this will confuse you because it's not fit like that. So the 45 is a shell, so it's kind of like the information is not necessary for the user. What they need to know is what it measures in centimeters. And I feel like the 28.5, that's how they would fit initially, but once they're broken in, they would fit more like a 29. So with all those measurements, the way we advertise them, just because of how tight they fit initially, and because they're mostly designed for kind of, we want to make sure people are comfortable. We wanted them to be more consistent with other brands. So we don't want to say, oh, this one, here you go, that's a size 28.5, and it fits way tighter than a 27.5 in another brand.
Right.
So we want it to be somewhat consistent. So if you're wearing a size 10 and a half shoe, this would fit tight for you, you know?
Yeah. But shoes are weird. You know, I think I'm typically wearing like 12s, but you know, it's based on the length of your foot and it depends on the brand. You know, Nikes run a little smaller, for example. So,
In shoes, you want to leave a little bit of space because when you're walking, you're lifting your heel and your toes forward on every step. Therefore, you don't want the toes touching the end.
Yeah.
But in skates, you want the toes touching the end.
Right.
Because you're lifting your heel.
So let me get this. You said 45 shell large liner, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm putting that in the order notes, you know. You can sort of see why I wanted to talk about this. You know, it's a lot of money, right? But based on what we've talked about, I'm comfortable just placing the order. And you know, something else, you know, like I said, I have been recording this, so I may go back over it at some point, and I'd be happy to try to summarize some of what we've talked about, make like a frequently asked questions list, and send it to you if you think that'd be helpful.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, and feel free, like, even with the recording, as, like, I was recording it, I don't really have any secrets, or if I said something that it doesn't make sense, I'm more than happy for people to, like, call me out and say, like, how come you said this, and there's going to be many things that I'm not realizing that I'm saying now, that in, like, 10 years from now, I'd be like, oh, man, this is such bad information I'm giving out there.
Right.
But I think for the sake of, you know, where I am at the moment, and kind of the intention is to just see, like, just be honest about it and see where skating can go, I'm, really excited about the process. So if you want to share, even you said you wanted to, like, maybe do some, like, a write-up to share it with other people, like, this recording, feel free to share it. Like, if this comes up on Reddit, and, hey, guys, like, I just talked to Leon for an hour, and, like, he kind of answered the question.
More than an hour, it's more like 3 hours, but, yeah, I mean, hopefully someone else will be interested in it. Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely, you know, if I get around, I could transcribe it, too. We'll see, but, if you're cool with me posting it, I'll definitely post it. You know, I have a website, and so I can point people to it, and, you know, I'm sure someone else has had the same sort of questions I have. So,
yeah, that feel free. Honestly, it's I don't think it is. I love the idea of, you know, being able to listen to people talk, like in a podcast about nerdy rollerblade stuff. I love it. So,
All right.
There's like a lot of people out there that might also enjoy it. So, please share.
All right.
As you wish.
Good deal. Well, you know, like I said, I'll place the order. I will, you know, I'll say put my name on it in 45 shell large liner. And, you know, and like I said, I'm actually, you know, it may not sound like it from what we've been talking about, but I'm actually basically a complete beginner when it comes to skates. You know, I did it years ago, but it's just something I want to get into. So, you know, I can keep you posted on how fast I progress, too.
That would be huge. Because if you end up, my goal at the end of the day is to make sure that you get the skate, that I can give you the advice that is my best guess of what would work, what would for you. So if you end up not enjoying it and you tell me, hey, I think I need 100, contact me, and we can always, we have a lot of demo frames, so we can always make it work. I love investing into that experimentation, and at this stage with people like yourself that are early adopters to this thing, you know, if you're not happy, we'll take the product back, we'll refund you the money, we'll switch the frame.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. I mean, it's why I called and talked about this. You know, we figured out because I'm super tall and because of the skating I want to do, the 110s just make more sense, like as a long-term thing. You know, maybe it'd be a little bit easier to learn on the 100s, but if I'm going to end up on the 110s eventually anyway, I might as well just get them now.
I agree. Right. Yeah. Very good.
Cool. Well, you know, I'll try to keep you in the loop as I progress. And, you know, I do tend to document things. It's just sort of how I am. So, you know, I can send you a link eventually if I ever blog about it or whatever. You know, I'm actually just setting up a website right now, but I'll definitely try to document the process for the future people. It'll be an idea. Well, thanks for taking the time, Leon. You know, this has been a lot, I know, but I feel like I got all my questions answered, and I know a lot more about skating now.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad this was, it was a lot of fun for me, too. And I would love reading stuff that you post because, asking good questions is sometimes very difficult. And you had a lot of good questions. And just your process, I felt there was no motive behind it. You're just asking very objectively, and it's really interesting to listen to you because you kind of process things and the conversation flows really well. So I would love to hear you break things down or talk to other people. I think if you had your own podcast, I would be I think you would do really well with your own podcast.
Yeah, sure. I'll think about it. I'm a busy person, but I'll take that as a good compliment then. All right. Well, I will certainly let you know. You know, I may clean up the audio a little bit. You know, there are a couple places where we got interrupted and, you know, cut out and stuff. But I'll definitely get around to posting it at some point and maybe sort of like a SparkNotes version of some of the points we hit, you know, like the balance and the stability and frame size and all that. So, yeah. And I guess I'll just text you the links or whatever later. But, you know, it may be a while. You know, I have finals coming up and all that. So.
No, at all. Honestly, it's all whatever happens is great. But if nothing happens, it's just as great.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time. Like I said, I've learned a lot.
Awesome. Same here.
All right. Talk to you later. Cool. Then I guess.
See you.
All right.
Okay. Bye. Bye.